So a few announcements here for the homily. First, right after Mass, I remind you, we go right into adoration. Adoration will continue until 3:30. It will also be live streamed. So if anyone's at home and would like to do some adoration from home, that will be a possibility. Benediction will be at 3:30 today, so I hope, again, you can come one way or another and be with our Lord. I want to remind everyone today at 4 o'clock, we continue our daily briefings. It's 4 o'clock. They're about 20 minutes in length. I just give updates of what's happening here at the parish. The last few, I've been surprised how many people have participated or tuned in. So it's good. It means people are interested in what's happening in the parish. If you missed those and you're curious, they're available on our Grace Lily page. So they're live at 4, but then they're available afterwards. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we are in our second to last study on 1 Samuel. I know, we're holding back the tears, aren't we, right? But tonight we're going to talk about Saul loses it. He is just besides himself. He's become a stranger to himself. He just begins to launch this massive manhunt against David. We're going to talk about that tonight. And of course, our last session will be next Wednesday if we wrap up 1 Samuel. In terms of some announcements, I mentioned yesterday that the bishop is going to be here on June 29th, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, that evening in a private ceremony in order to bestow the papal decree and offer a blessing. Well, already, God bless Team Grace. I mentioned that yesterday at the 4 o'clock briefing. And already last night, some people were reaching out and saying, "Wow, this is so wonderful. What can we do for you?" Right? And I'm very grateful. St. Francis de Sales, one of our spiritual writers, he says, "Ask for nothing, refuse nothing." Right? So I ask for nothing. But I am very concerned because I know in the past, people have spent a lot of money on very nice gifts. Fine wine, very expensive rum, gift cards to fine restaurants. You guys have to know me. I don't drink fine wine. My Captain Morgan's so cheap, he's practically a lieutenant. Okay, right, you know? And if I eat out, which is rare, I'm more comfortable at a Waffle House than a nice restaurant. So please don't spend your money on those things. If you feel compelled to give a gift, I would say one of two things. I still have personal debt. If you want to give a financial gift, but more importantly, the group that's very dear to my heart are the sisters in Nashville, the Dominican sisters. We give a lot as a parish to support them. I tithe to them. Many times I'm sending prayer requests from our community to them. I feel a very close spiritual association. They're the ones who help with our vacation Bible school in the summers. So to give a gift to the sisters in honor of our parish would be amazing. So if you want to do something, I say those. Please don't spend your hard-earned money on things that either won't be used or transparently will be regifted. So just to address that. Lastly, on a personal note, I do ask your prayers. One of my nephews, Alex, is in the military, was assigned at Fort Stewart. And Alex married a young woman who has special needs. And when they married, I remember pulling Alex aside and just saying, you know, every marriage is hard. I know that because as a priest, it's my job to take care of marriages, you know. And I said, but just be aware of what you're doing, you know. This is going to be a more difficult marriage because your wife will have special needs, has additional needs. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I know, I got it, you know. And I remember being frustrated. I was like, he needs to take this seriously. And then I realized he's taking it very seriously because he really just loves this woman. He doesn't see what other people might see. But we didn't think they were going to be able to have children, that she would be able to carry children. We received word last night, she's pregnant. Thanks be to God, huh? Let's thank God, huh? So pray for them and for her pregnancy, and it's just very exciting news. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So yesterday I was talking about the punishment of God, and I watched the homily because I thought, oh no, I was a little distracted. I hope I didn't mess it up or overemphasize one side or the other. I watched the homily, I thought, hey, this is pretty good. I know, I'm very proud of my humility, okay? But I will just want to emphasize, in light of yesterday's homily, that the Lord has come to save, not to judge. He only judges when we force him, when we refuse the mercy. So if we avail ourselves of God's mercy, it is generous and overflowing. If we refuse it, then we make ourselves the children of judgment. So I just want to emphasize that point. Okay, moving on, what I want to do is, oftentimes what happens in our society, when we approach sacred things, we can approach sacred things, and as Americans, we want to make everything equal. That's wonderful, especially in terms of human dignity, right? Great. But sometimes that gets in the way. We want to equalize everything. So sometimes as Americans, we just want to equalize even God or sacred things. If you want to really upset someone, emphasize something sacred. For example, don't talk in a place of worship. I'm just saying hello to my friend. Yeah, you could say hello to your friend. We want you to do that outside the worship space. This is sacred. It's different. Every time you try to emphasize something sacred in our society, you're the bad guy. Because we have to recognize in our hearts as Americans, we want to equalize everything. Everything's the same. There's nothing different. Nothing's better than anything else. Again, there's a benefit to that. But there's also a burden. That oftentimes what we try to do is normalize sacred things. We try to make sacred things like everything else, which means they stop being sacred. This can be difficult for us as believers because we have to enter this place of worship. We observe a certain posture, a certain discretion. We approach the altar with a certain holy fear because we know that these are sacred things. And as believers, we have to hold on to them. As the priest, it's my principal responsibility, my first task, is to guard the majesty of God and the holy things of God. It's not to make you feel good. It's not to provide you happy clappy. It's to provide the ultimate defense of the things of God, even a willingness to lay down my life in defense of them. If someone tried to walk in this church and profane the Blessed Sacrament, I would die in its defense, without question, because it's sacred. It's our Lord's own body and blood amongst us. The fulfillment of his promises that he will be with us until the end of the age. We have to understand this. Today in our readings, Elijah understood that. In fact, the holy things became so a part of Elijah's life that it became almost the clothes he wore. So as he knows that he's beginning to conclude his time in this life, he brings his disciple, his chief disciple, Elisha. He says to Elisha, "What do you want?" Elisha said, "I want a double of your portion." You can imagine Elijah say, "You can't handle it, right? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit." Okay. Elijah takes off his cloak, and holiness had become such a part of his life. The holy things of God became such a part of his life. He took off his cloak, he wrapped it up, and he just slapped the Jordan River. Wouldn't you like to have seen that? Slaps the Jordan River, and the river divides at the power of the prophet. And Elijah and Elisha walk across the Jordan River on dry land. And then after passing, Elijah bestows Elisha that double portion. And then we're told that Elijah is taken into paradise on a chariot of fire. The prophet wore the things of God. It became a part of him. And when it was necessary, he was able to use them in order to accomplish God's will. In our life, we are called to approach sacred things, to defend sacred things, to understand sacred things, to allow them to become a part of us, right? We have to be careful in our discipleship that we don't have more religion on us than in us, right? You see people wearing multiple holy medals and various things. It's wonderful. But if that's their only religion, something's missing. Because that has to get in us. It has to change our hearts. The ways of God and the things of God and the holy things of God have to become a part of us. And it's by exactly them becoming a part of us that then when we need them, we're able to wrap them and use them to forgive our enemy, to show kindness to the person who's been belligerent, to go the extra mile in service, to serve the poor, the vulnerable who make us uncomfortable. It's precisely by allowing the holy things to become a part of us that then we can use them when we are called to fulfill the will of God. Elijah models that for us today. And that's our gospel reading. The three traditional acts of piety of the Christian: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That's our best response. If we find ourselves getting angry with the things happening in our world, we find ourselves struggling with desolation on the things that are happening in terms of public health or racial harmony, well, we can allow ourselves to live in anger and become children of desolation. Well, we can realize that we are the children of God and turn to the holy things and use what God has given to us in order to bring about even greater reform and more noble efforts. We should use our acts of piety. How many have said, "I'm so upset with what's happening"? Aren't we all? Have you prayed about it? Have you fasted over it? Have you given alms in order to counter that influence? Dear friends, we have the power. We are the sons and daughters, not of desolation. We are the sons and daughters of God, children of the resurrection. Do you understand the power that we have? Elijah did. He split the Jordan River. We have that same power. Why are we acting as orphans when we are the children of God? Why are we acting as if we have no power when all power in heaven and on earth has been given to us? As we celebrate this Eucharist, we ask God to invigorate us, motivate us, remind us of the power we've been given, to use the acts of piety to be the different, to be the instruments of peace, healing, reconciliation, and hope. That's our task. We pick it up, we wrap it up, and we slap those bad spirits with it. We dispel them, and we seek to do the work of God.